Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets God, Guides, and Follow-Through. I'm currently in a series that I developed entitled God Guides You. It's an extension of a Bible plan devotional with the same name. My aim in this series is to provide some areas in life where God guides His children. In part one, I went over how God guides us in discernment, but for part two, I'm addressing the motivational aim, God guides in follow-through. What I mean by this is when we make a commitment, a promise, or a decision to do something that God wants us to follow through with, God guides us to follow through with it. Even when we don't want to, and even if we prematurely made a choice or a pledge to do something we didn't thoroughly think through. It is a learning lesson not to jump the gun. Sometimes we don't utilize discernment. We should, but at times individuals, they do not. And a person can get so distracted in what's going on with them and how they're sad, weary, tired, hungry. And even in those feelings and in those emotions and in those states of mind and states of being, it is of extreme importance to utilize and exercise discernment and wisdom. There are a lot of things, a lot of people dressed up as sheep. But when one starts to uncover that mask, they find out that they were in front of face-to-face with the snake or wolf. Making decisions, following through with decisions, is serious business. Distractions will always be around. That is why discernment should be sought after. It should be held tight on to and never out of one's sight. God guides us in discernment, but it is up to us to walk in the guiding light of God. If we choose to allow our pain, our distress, our weaknesses, our tired state of mind, our being fed up with it all, our anger, if we allow all of that to get in the way of discernment, there is no telling what one will allow in their lives. There's no telling what promises one will make. There is no telling what one will get caught up with, who they will get caught up with, and what they'll be caught doing. It could be a web set up to entangle us, to get us caught up, to have us restricted from walking in God's guiding power. Many of us have made decisions, or some people have made decisions that they did not think thoroughly through. They didn't think about them. It could have been an impulse decision. It could have been a decision where one thought, oh, it's not that bad. I'm just going to do this because I get away with this all the time. It's not that serious. And then before the hour is over, before the day is up, they find out, oh my goodness, this has caused more problems than I ever imagined. Or it could be a situation where one is anxious about something. They're anxious. They just want to do what they want to do. They want to jump on that opportunity. They want to spend that money. They want to do something. And God is telling them, okay, just wait. But they don't feel like waiting. They don't feel like waiting at all. So what does that individual do? They jump the gun. They get ahead of God. And all they had to do was wait 5 more seconds. 1 more day. 1 more week. 1 month. 3 hours. 1 second. And they had a prompting to wait, but those distractions came to them. Those wolves in sheep's clothing came to them, presenting what they already wanted, knowing that they were impatient and they were anxious and they were ready and they were tired. Individual jumps the gun, not thoroughly thinking things through. And then they see, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into? All I had to do was wait. It was right around the corner. The real thing was right around the corner. This fake thing, this illusion, was presented before me. And now I have to live out the consequences for choosing the wrong thing, not operating in discernment, and not following through with waiting and doing what God said do. It's important as you utilize discernment and you utilize follow through, not to allow individuals to tell you things to get you off of the right track. There'll be a lot of people, some people, tell you, what are you doing? Why are you waiting? What you waiting for? I mean, it's right there before you. Just take it. And then if you're not strong enough, or if an individual is not strong enough, they're so focused on what people are saying and not what God is saying. They're focused on what they're saying and not what God is saying. All these thoughts start coming into an individual's mind. I mean, what are people going to say about me? And I don't care what it is that you're waiting for, what God told you to wait on. I don't care what it is. But these thoughts could come in one's mind of, I mean, what are people going to say about me? I don't want them to think this of me. I mean, they're going to think I'm crazy. I mean, they're going to think I'm mean if I stick to this and utilize discernment. They're going to think I'm mean because I'm telling them that I want to wait on God and I'm not sure. They're going to be offended. They're going to think that I'm not a nice person. I mean, I know what it feels like, you know, to offer somebody something and they don't receive it. So I think I just need to go ahead and receive it because I don't want them to think anything. I've been in their shoes before. Sometimes we really don't know what it feels like to be in somebody else's shoes because they might not even have their own shoes on. So we over here thinking, oh my God, I know what it feels like to be in their shoes. Those aren't even their shoes. They don't even know what it feels like to be in their own shoes because sometimes they don't have any. And they're walking around trying to fulfill somebody else's shoes. Bringing those shoes before you for you to look at them and feel sorry for them. But they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Sometimes you have to examine people's shoes. You have to utilize discernment when you're looking at people's shoes before you say, I know what it feels like to be in their shoes. Hey, whoa. Did you see how those shoes didn't fit on their feet? Did you see that the shoes were too big? Did you notice that they were trying to hide their shoes because they knew you were looking at them and examining them and utilizing discernment? So they're trying to run away from you with those shoes on and they tripping and falling because it's not theirs. It's not their shoes. They were just coming to you to take from you. The shoes were a costume. I believe y'all got my point. Utilize discernment. The aim is to walk in God's guidance of discernment. Now, what do you do when you've made a promise? You didn't utilize discernment. You said you were going to do something upstanding for someone, and you found out you were tricked. This is where God corrects us, guides us to follow through with what we did on our own. The passage of scripture that I'm going to refer to in this motivational aim is Joshua the 9th chapter, the entire chapter. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. Matter of fact, I encourage you to read Joshua the 7th through the 9th chapters in their entirety. But what's going on here is a classic case of following through with what God told you to do and the importance of utilizing discernment. This is not a game. It's not a game at all. But we have Joshua, who was one of the prominent leaders after Moses. God commanded Joshua to not only lead God's people, but prepare an army to conquer cities for God's people. Joshua was following God's guidance, and he conquered Jericho, and that was a big deal. A lot of neighboring cities heard about it, and no doubt all of Joshua's enemies heard about the victories God brought him through. Joshua's name spread, but most importantly, people knew that God was in it all, and they feared the power of God because they saw how God protects his anointed. So the enemies of God were perplexed. Joshua was going down the checklist of cities to conquer and enemies to take care of. A lot of enemies didn't want to surrender, so what they did was form an alliance to fight against Joshua and Israel. But there was one city that was not down to fight against Joshua. They were not in agreement to get into this alliance against Joshua and Israel because they were scared. They didn't want to end up like the other cities that Joshua conquered and demolished. They wanted to live. So they did something. They put some shoes on, some deceptive shoes, and came up to Joshua and the elders of Israel. They put on a whole production to distract and deceive Joshua and these elders. And I'm going to read Joshua the 9th chapter in the 3rd through the 15th verse. Remember, I advise you to read Joshua the 7th chapter through the 9th chapter in its entirety. But I'm about to read, as I just stated, Joshua the 9th chapter in the 3rd through the 15th verse. And here it is. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they acted deceptively. They gathered provisions and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They wore old, patched sandals on their feet and threadbare clothing on their bodies. Their entire provision of bread was dry and crumbly. They went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land. Please make a treaty with us." The men of Israel replied to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. How can we make a treaty with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua asked them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They replied to him, "Your servants have come from a faraway land because of the reputation of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two Amorite kings beyond the Jordan, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan, who was in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our land told us, 'Take provisions with you for the journey. Go and meet them and say, "We are your servants. Please make a treaty with us." This bread of ours was warm when we took it from our houses as food on the day we left to come to you. But see, it is now dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, but see, they are cracked, and these clothes and sandals of ours are worn out from the extremely long journey. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's decision. So Joshua established peace with them and made a treaty to let them live, and the leaders of the community swore an oath to them. So you just heard that, and if you were reading along, you saw that and you read it for yourself. But let me read verse 14 one more time. It says, "Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's decision." Let me read 15. "So Joshua established peace with them and made a treaty to let them live, and the leaders of the community swore an oath to them." Now jumping back to verse 8. Let me go to verse 8. The deceivers told Joshua, "We are your servants." And then Joshua asked them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" And instead of directly answering the question, the deceivers threw in all kinds of distractions. Joshua asked them, "Where do you come from? Who are you?" You saw it in scripture. You read it and you'll read it. These individuals did not respond. But what they did do is go down this long laundry list of problems that nobody asked them about. Nobody asked them about their problems, but they presented their problems to them. Be mindful of that. They were asked specific questions. Where do you come from? Who are you? But their response is, we're from a faraway land because of the reputation of the Lord your God. That's not answering the question. That's being evasive. That's not being honest. That's throwing in all kinds of distractions, deflection. And it didn't make any sense. Somebody asks you, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" "We're from a faraway land, but the Lord is good." No. First of all, where is the faraway land? Tell it to me. And you see how they threw God in there and it didn't even fit? Then what did these deceivers do? They had to expound on that deflection. "Yeah, we heard about what God did for your people. Ooh, all he did in Egypt and what he did to those Amorite kings." You see, the deceivers are distracting, well, they were distracting Joshua and the elders with talk about God. Why? Because a lot of people were not talking about God then. Joshua and the elders were letting people know, "We serve God." Even though people around them were letting them know, "Oh, we don't serve God." So it felt like they were anomalies. So to have somebody from a quote unquote faraway land talk about the goodness of God, that was used as a distraction. That same distraction and deflection and deception is still going on today. Individuals could look at you. When they want to get something from you, they study you. They look at how you respond in situations. They're looking at your character, even though they don't embody and they don't have those characteristics on the inside of them. They don't want to have that. They don't want to display that. But they'll look at you, make it look like, "Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing? My name's so-and-so. I just want to know X, Y, and Z because..." Ooh, the Lord is so good. He just really brought me through. He just brings me through every morning. I woke up this morning with my mind, ooh, stayed on Jesus. My God. If you're not strong and savvy enough and discerning, an individual will be like, "Oh, you talked about God? Oh, what do you need? We're the same." And y'all aren't. See, these deceivers knew that Joshua and the people of Israel were God's chosen people, but a lot of people did not agree with that. They didn't like what God was doing. They wanted wickedness to prevail. They didn't want righteousness to prevail. So these deceivers go up to Joshua talking about the one thing that they know about these people. They know that they serve God and they follow God. So that's how we're going to come in. We're going to come in as snakes pretending to be on the same page with these individuals. We're going to walk around making it look like we wear the same shoes. They were using anything to relate with Joshua and the people to distract them from staying on the path of discernment. Their aim was to get them on the path of pride, flattery, and deceptive relatability. These deceivers were talking about their journey. Nobody asked them about their journey. nobody cares about their journey. I asked, or Joshua asked, where are you from and who are you? But they didn't answer that question. They were talking about things that didn't matter. And then they start talking about, we are your servants. I don't read anywhere in here where Joshua and the elders of Israel were sending out applications for employees. They needed help. Nobody asked you to put in an application to be my servant. I asked you who you, well, Joshua asked who you were and where you were from. And those questions were not answered. Then they start talking about how weak they were. Nobody asked them that. I mean, we really need protection. We're really going through. Nobody asked them anything. The questions that they asked were not answered. There was a lot of deflection going on. Red flag. Matter of fact, red flags. So they're talking about they need protection. They're really going through. Look at our bread from our house. Now, they talked about their house, but they still haven't given their street address. When somebody asked you where you're from, you're telling me what you took out your house, but you won't tell nobody where your house is. I mean, we took this bread from our house with us, you know. We came to you. Look, it's dry and crumbly and molded. Look at this wine. Look at our clothes and our sandals, our shoes, how they're worn out from a long journey. You see how they never answered the question? They start talking about shoes that weren't theirs. They were showing what they lacked. They were putting all these things on display that nobody asked about. They start talking about what they had. Be mindful of people like that. When you ask them a question and they will not answer it, they'll hit other points of what you're talking about, but they won't target in on what you asked. And they keep presenting problems to you, trying to, I guess, manipulate your feelings and manipulate the situation because they want you to feel sorry for them so you can make a decision off of impulse and relatability. Going back to the shoes. Oh my gosh, see? Look at them. They don't have something. I remember how it was for me. But they're not you. And they're probably not going through like you were. Yours is real. Theirs is possibly fake. Utilize discernment. You see how they went through? Oh my gosh, look at our bread. Our bread is molded. It's dry. We took it from our house. All right. I asked you where you were from and you start whipping out bread. You whip out loaves of bread. I asked you where you're from and what's your name and you whip out bread. And then you start showing me how the bread is molded. That's what went on. Joshua asked these people, where are you from? What is your name? They pulled out a loaf of bread. That was the answer. That was their response. They put out a loaf of bread and they start showing them the mold spores on the bread. They start getting the bread and using their hands to crumble it up. Look, our bread is molded. It's crumbly. Okay, so since you want to whip out the bread, how is it that you went from a long journey? You were traveling for such a long time. Why you didn't eat your food? Why didn't you eat your food? Why are you holding on to molded bread? Why did you allow the bread to get molded if you were traveling for such a long time? Who's carrying molded bread? And then for you to tell, or not you, but for these individuals to tell Joshua, yeah, the bread is crumbly. Why were they stressing about crumbs? Why was the bread crumbly if it was bread that you took from your house? How did it get crumbly? Was you playing with your food? Why are you playing with your food? Why didn't you eat those crumbs? If it's dry, and it's crummy, why didn't you eat your croutons? You're traveling with molded bread? I mean, what does that say about you? So why aren't you feeding yourself? What's wrong? I don't understand why a grown individual is walking around with molded bread in their hand. You see how crazy that sounds? And then you start asking, or an individual asks somebody some specific questions, and they want to start showing them holes in their shoes. They start showing them how their clothes are worn down and messed up, stains, runs in their stockings. But they never disclosed how long they were traveling. They presented items to make it look like they were really going through. Look, I mean, we had wine in the wineskins, but they're cracked now. And scripture lets us know Joshua and the elders did not utilize wisdom. They did not seek the Lord before they made a decision to help somebody, supposedly. It's important to not focus in on and target in on what somebody wants to show you, even if it looks real. The aim is to ask God for wisdom and discernment at all times, in everything. And have you ever been in a situation like this? And it happens to a lot of people. It happens to people. Where somebody wants to present something to you. Oh my goodness, I'm going through. Oh my gosh. And some people could really be going through. But that's why asking God for wisdom and discernment, that is so key. So you can know what God told you to give to and what God told you not to give to. It happens. But all it takes is one time for somebody to go through somebody being deceptive. And then you know that, man, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I felt something. I asked them a specific question that they did not answer. And I just felt some type of way. I knew it. Yeah, all it takes is one good time. Even though it's not a good time, it's a challenging time. And then when that next deceiver comes in, that next deceiver gets it. They're out for a rude awakening. I mean, you have so-called friends, family, relatives, co-workers, strangers who know you. And you might know them and you might not know them. But they're familiar with you. And then they're familiar with what you have. They're familiar with what you carry and what you can produce. So instead of coming through the right door with you, they know you're going to ask them some specific questions. They don't want to answer them because they know if they have to answer those questions, it's going to expose truth. So what do some of these people do? Hey! How's it going? Look at you. Oh, God has been so good to you. Yeah, I wanted to know if we can connect, meet up, converse. I mean, could you like really help me out with this? Because I really need help. I really need some help. And your response is, yeah, who is this? Who are you? What are you talking about? What do you mean? What are you referring to? What are you really saying? What are you really asking me? Explain yourself. And instead of answering the question, they reply with the, I'm just really going through. I've been dealing with this a long time. But God, you know, oh, God is just so good because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, my goodness. Wow. But God is just so real. But they never answered your question. Then they start throwing out these flattery darts. Oh, my gosh. Look what God is doing in your life. All of those promotions you're getting. Yeah, I heard how God is taking you to higher heights and new levels. And you got that money now. And what he did for your family, I heard about it. And how he brought you through all of those storms you went through. I know it must have been so hard for you, but God. It's just so hard for me right now. I mean, I think you can tell, like, my hair is not done. My clothes have holes in them and a couple of stains. My water bottles have dents in them. I can't go to fine dining restaurants anymore. I actually have to go to the grocery store and purchase food and prepare it, cook it for myself. It's just so hard. I mean, I can't stunt in front anymore. I mean, I'm only showing you these things and telling you these things about me because I want you to fund, fuel, and finance my false sense of reality. And it's just hard not living the life I want to live. I mean, I'm pretending to have issues because I want you to give to me. Even if it means lying to you and lying on my spouse and even my children, because I just need you to fulfill these dishonest desires. That's why I'm pretending to relate with you. So I'm talking to you about God, even though I don't know who God is. I mean, I only come across his name on Christmas and I think Easter. I mean, I think that's important for some reason. But I'm just saying this because I need you to look at these distractions so you can give me my desires. And please, please don't ask me any questions where God is guiding you in discernment, because I need you to agree with these decisions that I hope that you make based off of my deflections. So I can just go on down the road and live my little life. It doesn't matter who your deceivers are. Always go to God. Always go to Jesus. Always go to the Lord and ask him to reveal to you what people are up to. You'd be surprised when people don't disclose their identity. You can go straight to God and God will tell you who they are. God will let you know what's behind the mask, even though you didn't even know people were wearing a mask. Go ask God. If you feel something wrong, go pray to God and ask God, Lord, guide me in discernment. And if I've made some promises and decisions with people where I did not utilize discernment, help me to walk this thing through. Help me to follow through with the things that I'm supposed to follow through with if you want me to. And I'll aim to never do this again. Now, after Joshua and the elders made this promise with these liars, 3 days later, okay? 3 days later. I know I said this before, but you have to be mindful of people who can't tell you and provide an answer to questions. They can ask you questions wanting a response, but they can't answer your questions with a response. Red flag. Be mindful when people are showing you all of their issues in an exaggerated manner and they want you to hurry up, make the deal, hurry up, make the decision, hurry up, do this for me. And if they get mad because you tell them to wait, red flag. I mean, if these people were walking around, going back to scripture, if these people were walking around with these clothes tore up for this long journey, what's another 3 days before I make my decision about letting you work for me, supposedly? If they already had messed up clothes, I mean, they can sit in them clothes for 3 more days. If they were already holding molded bread this long, what's another 3 days? If their wineskins were already cracked, what is another 3 days? When you read the scripture, it never said that they were hungry. They never said that they were thirsty. They were just showing them what they had. And that's what discernment is about. It's about sitting there, waiting sometimes, and taking your time. Not allowing people to rush you. Thinking things through. These individuals never talked about how we had this molded bread, but we didn't have anything else. because they knew they would have to go through this whole process of questions and answers. So they just wanted to put their stuff out there and let it be. And it was wrong. They didn't want to expose the truth. But when Joshua made this treaty with these people, as it states in verse 16, Joshua finds out that these deceivers were their neighbors. They lived amongst these people. And now Joshua and the elders had to sit there and realize they made this oath with these people. And the oath that they made, now they had to fulfill. Because if they were to break their promise of peace that they made with these deceiving neighbors, then judgment would fall upon them. But God is still good, because even though they made this self-maledictory oath, God still guided them with follow through. Now they had to follow through with the oath that they made, and that oath was to let these individuals live peacefully with them. They swore an oath to God saying that they would not touch them. And although they were servants to the Israelites, these deceivers, they still were around them. But they were not supposed to be. They were not supposed to be living around them. They were not supposed to be in their company. Have you ever made an oath with someone? Made a promise to somebody who you weren't even supposed to originally be around and share space with? God guided Joshua in following through with something he promised, even though it didn't feel good. And in our lives, there could have been a time where you, and I know I have, where I've said some things, I've made some promises, and I didn't go to God first about what I was making a promise about. And then in some cases, I had to keep up with what I said. And I believe some of you can relate with this. You go ahead and keep the promise. But there are some times when God allows you to denounce something where you were obligated to do something, but you can't go forth with it due to other factors that go completely contrary to God's will, word, way, and nature in his purpose for your life. But for the things that we've made promises for, and God says, okay, you have to go through with that, God guides us and follow through. We might be upset. We might be angry. We could just be so flabbergasted that we were deceived. But the aim is to always ask God for discernment so we cannot make those mistakes again. And if God tells us to follow through with it, we just have to follow through and allow God to guide us so we won't be in situations like that again. All it takes for some people is one time. And I don't know if Joshua encountered another deceiver again, but if he did, I imagine that he did what some of us would do. Ask questions in a direct way. No games, straight responses. Because when people approach you wanting something, but they are telling you nothing, that means that they are somebody pretending to be a nobody that everybody knows. And the scripture I would like to leave you with is, well, there are two scriptures I would like to leave you with. The first one is Psalm, the 15th chapter, and the second through the fourth verse. And it states, "The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind." Now, this passage targets in on God guiding us to follow through with our own words, our promises, even when it hurts, because we fear the Lord. Those who aim to follow Jesus and who allow God to guide them, they allow God to guide them in the great times, and they allow God to guide them when they miss the mark. And that's what Joshua did, and the elders did, And this is what we should do also. And this is what we should continue to do, because we might miss the mark another day. We're not perfect. And another scripture I would like to review is Joshua, the 9th chapter and the 19th verse. And it reads, "All the leaders answered them, 'We have sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them.'" God guides us to follow through with doing right when we've done wrong. God guides us to follow through and stand on His word when we fail to seek out His word from the beginning. Allow God to guide you as you follow through with what He called you to do, which is to obey Him in every stage, aspect, and missed mark in your life. Remain encouraged. God can still turn things around for you. Just walk in His guiding power. Walk in His guidance, because He has an impeccable track record in following through with every promise He's declared about you. And that includes you not lacking in anything good. All right, so thanks for tuning in. Visit drkenitrabryant.com to download the God Guide You Bible Study. And on the site, you can grab some apparel aimed to inspire and remind you that God is the one guiding you. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram at Aim Towards the Target and on the YouVersion Bible app, where you can download, subscribe, and complete a variety of Bible devotionals. Walk in God's guidance of discernment today, and also walk in God's power to help you follow through with what you've promised. Peace and God bless.